Hello, welcome to another edition of the Bible in the News. This is Tim Billington joining you. Today we'll talk about events in Israel and Iran. We've seen Israel continue to fight for their collective life, with action continuing against threats from Gaza and Lebanon, as well as the undermining U.S. intelligence leak related to Israeli military plans, and most notably, the direct Israeli attack on Iranian military infrastructure. Israel has seen unprecedented success in their military campaigns, the challenging situation in Gaza, all the worse because of the hostages. Hezbollah has been hit in unprecedented ways, as we've talked about in other editions of the Bible News, and Iran's missile attacks have been unprecedentedly ineffective. But Israel's retaliation against Iran has been unprecedentedly effective. This has made a big impact, as Aleph.com, an Arabic news site, here translated by Google Translate, sorry for any errors, as Aleph.com points out, quoting this analysis, Israel did more than just attack military installations, it rewrote the rules of the game, and showed that it has the courage and knowledge to get where it needs to go. This is not just an exercise in military force, it is a statement. Israel has stripped Iran of some of its military edge in one night, leaving the so-called regional power scrambling to control its narrative, like a magician left empty-handed in front of a frustrated audience, he said. What we are witnessing is not just a military strategy, but also a glimpse into a new regional dynamic. Israel has drawn a line that will be felt in the corridors of power beyond Tehran. It is a lesson in calculated defiance, and one that sends a message to Iran and its proxies. Israel is prepared to protect itself, reaching even the most fortified areas if it means protecting its people. The fallout from tonight's strike will not fade quickly. It represents a turning point, a shift that could reshape the balance of power for years to come. This has not been lost in Israel either. It's like a fear barrier has been broken, that they've realized that the big giant of Iran that they have been scared of isn't quite so scary as they thought, after all. Around the world, people are fearing world war and the spread of hostilities. Fear of war is announced from various news outlets. But the Bible is ahead of the news, and we know clearly what we need to look for. First, Iran, as we are seeing, needs to be aligned with Russia. They were formerly called Persia, and others will be with them as they come against the mountains of Israel, as we talk about. And second, Israel will be there at the end to be redeemed by her Messiah and Savior. Talking about the lead-up to this saving of Israel by her Messiah is Ezekiel chapter 38. And I'd like to quote a couple of parts from it here. Starting at the beginning, it says, O Gog, I will bring thee forth, and all thy army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. And it carries on a little later, In the latter years there shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And this safety that they experience is emphasized. It says in verse 11, There shalt say, I will go to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. This is emphasizing the peace and security that they feel. So in spite of the ever-grinding cycle of hostilities that we see coming from the nations that we would expect, we wonder when we will see the peace described. How does this come about? How is it that they are unwalled villages and at rest and dwelling safely and having neither bars nor gates? Paul Billington spoke about this in the Bible in the News on October 7th, 2007. These words remain true still today. He said, Manipulate and stretch the words however you like. The plain sense of the passage does not describe the situation in Israel today. It is not just a lull in violence, it is a dwelling safely and nothing less. The words of Ezekiel require the situation to be in place at the time of Gog's invasion. The words are, Ezekiel 38 verse 14, In that day, when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. No, we just cannot escape the words of Ezekiel. Some form of peace, a dwelling safely, must be in place when the Northern power invades the land. And I'd also like to add that the way that is worded, that when they dwell safely, shalt thou not know it. And the result of them seeing the peace come about is, thou shalt come out of thy place out of the north parts. Those two things are juxtaposed together in what cannot be an accidental way. So we look today at Israel and we see the sufferings of war which grind on and on, and we look for the makings of that peace. And perhaps the suffering, lonely Israel that is derided for everything that they do, while their people suffer horrific losses and continual bombardment, perhaps that Israel is coming out swinging to subdue their enemies for a time of peace. And subduing the enemies is what brought peace in ancient Israel. Under King David, the nations around were subdued. And what did that bring? It brought peace in the time of David, and even more so beyond into the time of Solomon. That peace is described here in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 21 to 25. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. And if we look at the context and at the biblical record of this time, it's clear that this is a gift from God to bring peace. And so is God ready to bring peace to the people of Israel in our time? A peace that precedes, yes, the great war, but also the true time of true peace when the kingdom is established. Well, in the United States, we have a certain President Trump who seems rather supportive of Israel against Hamas, who might just be on the verge of re-election. Trump seems to be among those that see Israel's enemies and may help to isolate them, and this may just help to subdue them for a time. If the election brings Harris to power, then we know that God is at work, and this will further his purpose in a way that we may not have seen. One thing that's interesting about Trump is how he wants to act harshly against supporters of terror, and especially Hamas. I found an actual clip of him speaking, because sometimes he is misquoted and taken out of context.
When I'm back at the Oval Office, we will cut off every penny of money that we send to the Palestinians and the terrorists on day one. We will fully support Israel in defeating, dismantling, and permanently destroying the terrorist group known as Hamas.
And he goes on.
In addition, we will aggressively deport resident aliens with jihadist sympathies. We have to. This isn't like being Mr. Nice Guy. We have to, or we're going to have a country that's going to be blown to shreds.
And on that note, there's a man in Israeli politics who is gaining popularity. Their polls go up and down, but at times he has been actually passing Netanyahu in popularity, and that man is Naftali Bennett.
Expect it to look. Who's going to control the Palestinian Authority, as we've heard, international forces? Well, what's going to happen on the ground?
The first and foremost, before we talk about who replaces them, all Hamasnik terrorists are either dead or expelled to foreign countries. That's what it means, because if you still have Hamasniks, then you've not eradicated Hamas. As for who will come instead...
So Naftali Bennett defines eradicating Hamas as getting rid of all people who are Hamas. All Hamasniks, as he says, people who live on a kibbutz are kibbutzniks. People who belong to the Likud party in politics are Likudniks. That's how they speak. So Hamasniks is people that are part of Hamas. So all of them, in his mind, need to be either dead or expelled. Now, such a policy with President Trump in power could be supported by Washington. And it could also bring a kind of peace that many in the world would not be impressed with, but would be quite effective. Although we are looking at seeing American support in this way, we also note in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40 that this king of the north seems to be able to march around and do what he wants. and says, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him or contend with him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships." Over. So this king of the north can just march around and go where he pleases with apparently nobody stopping him. For this to happen in today's world, we'd expect that must mean the United States is somewhat weaker. So America will clearly not be in a position of power, as the king of the south is overwhelmed in such a fantastic fashion, as noted here in this verse. And as events are today, with the attack from Iran on Israel and then the retaliation back, people are seeing that this maybe means that the U.S. is weak. There's no containment for the U.S. They're not able to stop Iran. Their own deterrent is not there as they try to convince them not to retaliate. And as we look at America, we see that America is not healthy financially. As Forbes here points out, if they carry on spending the way they are, they're on a collision course with insolvency. And beyond that, we can take note of the division and polarization across the nation, culturally and politically, besides financially. And so in summary, as we look at the Bible in the news, we see things happening quickly. It may not be always exactly clear how things will unfold, but we see the fingerprints of him who foretold all these things for our benefit. Perhaps war lies before the peace, and truly the nations are in turmoil, a raging sea. And so we must turn to his word for comfort and direction so that we might be found fit to stand before him in the final triumph, that final triumph when the last battle has been won. We need to watch and pray, and Lord willing, tune in again next week for more evidence of the Bible in the news. Thank you.